Hello, and welcome to another episode of Echoes of Strength, where we explore the power of stories, personal growth, and moments that shape us. I'm your host, Elle Pliskota, and today I am joined with my beautiful, amazing sister. So a quick disclaimer for the audience, there might be some giggles along the way of this episode because it's hard to stay serious with her, but today is a serious and powerful topic, and we are going to talk about her story with anorexia.
Yay!
This is my sister, Claire Pliskota. She is a junior in college.
Hello.
She goes to GCSU here in Georgia, and...
Oh, you're doxing me.
We are super excited to share her story, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so first, I want to take a trip back to the past, and I want to know, like, the first time you started dealing with these thoughts and, like, started to feel like you needed to do something about your, like, intrusive thoughts about the topic.
Okay, I think I started, like, I think, well, for a long time, I grew up, like, mm-hmm. I grew up really skinny, mm-hmm. so I never had really, like, thought about, like, my body mm-hmm. for, like, the first, like, part of my life at all. Like, the first, up until I was, like, 10, I, like, didn't ever think about it at all.
Yeah.
Because I was always, like, doing sports, and I was always just, you know, it didn't really matter to me.
Yeah.
But then when I hit puberty, which I went through puberty, like, younger than a lot of people, so I think I got my period in fifth grade.
Dang, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got it really early, so.
Dang, I got mine in seventh grade.
Yeah, I was really young. But anyways, so, and then that summer, I remember our grandma came.
Oh, yeah. I knew you were going to bring this up. Yeah.
And, like, I was also just, like, going through puberty, but, like, I gained a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
I gained, like, I think, like, well, it doesn't really matter, but.
Because our grandma's very, she's very Southern, and she would always make us dinner and, like, eat us all the snacks and go to Costco and buy a bunch of shit, so.
Yeah, and she was just, like, if we, like, asked for ice cream, she'd be like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if you asked for another ice cream, she'd be like, you don't have to ask me. So it was just, like. It was way different than what we had experienced growing up.
Yeah, because our mom, she, like, obviously wasn't, like, an almond mom, but she was very healthy, and, like, she's very active herself, and, like, we yeah. would be fed, like, proper proportions and not, like, yeah. It was just a different experience.
Yeah, so, anyways, I gained, like, a lot of weight for me, and it was right before sixth grade, and remember, I had to switch schools. I didn't get to go to the same middle school that everyone was going to for my elementary school because we were on the district border.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go to a different school with a bunch of different people that I had never met. So I was, like, already really nervous. I already, like, I had, like, gained weight, but I, like, didn't really care. Like, I knew I had, but I think at that point I wasn't really thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
Because it was just like, oh, well, this is just my body now. But then once I started going to school, I, like, started feeling more insecure because a lot of people, like, hadn't gone through puberty yet. So, like, I already had, like, boobs and everything. Like, and I was really tall. I was already, like, I was, like, 5'6" at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, 11. So I was already, I felt really awkward and out of place. And everyone was, like, really skinny and, you know, like, everyone was just built, like, mm-hmm. they were still really young, so I felt really insecure about it, and it only got worse because in the summer, I didn't do any sports, so in the fall, that's when I went back to cheerleading, and, like, basketball, and soccer, and mm-hmm. I went back to soccer, and I realized that I had gotten slower, so mm-hmm. I couldn't run as fast, because I used to be really fast at running, and I wasn't anymore, and that made me, like, it just made me really insecure because all the girls had not gone through puberty yet, so no one had gained weight. Everyone looked the same, and I obviously didn't. So I was upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember, like, a specific moment when I played with my neighbor, and we used to climb this tree, and I couldn't climb the tree anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with
Anna.
And I was really embarrassed, and I started to cry because I was like, I can't do it anymore.
That's another level of pain when you can't do something anymore.
Yeah, and she was like, well, why can't you do it? And she was just staring down at me from the tree while I tried to climb into it, and I couldn't do it.
And I remember that tree.
Yeah, so I literally just gave up and I went home because I was like, I can't climb the tree.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was really sad, but yeah, that was just kind of when things started. And then cheerleading also hurt because I couldn't fit into my uniform anymore.
Yeah.
Why is that funny to you?
I'm sorry. Just keep going.
Okay. But yeah, I couldn't fit into my uniform anymore, so I had to get a new one. And like all my shoes, I got really big feet, so like my feet now are the size I had when I was like 11, so I had big ass big bird feet that I had to get new shoes for, and I just had to get new clothes in general, and I was really upset because that's when I moved, from child sizes to like, you know, adult sizes,
mm-hmm.
and I was like really upset about that, because like even though it was like, I was like, like a size zero, it's not like I like, that's not even bad.
But yeah.
Like for me, it was like, well, I don't, everyone's still wearing like their 12, 14
yeah.
child sizes, and here I am in my adult clothing. Well, mm-hmm. adult clothing, but.
Quotes. Yeah.
And then all my friends were just also really skinny, so that didn't help.
Yeah.
And they all were in sports too, because that's just like, everyone was in sports at that age, so it's just like.
This was middle school at this time?
Yeah.
So it started in middle school?
Yeah, but I didn't act on the behavior.
When did you start acting on it?
I mean, it's kind of hard because when we moved to Georgia,
mm-hmm.
I lost a bunch of weight, but that wasn't really to do with how I looked, per se.
And we moved when you were in 8th grade, right?
7th grade.
7th grade, okay.
That was more about me just kind of being, like, depressed because I was sad we moved, so I just naturally kind of just lost a lot of weight.
Uh-huh.
But then that also, I think that definitely was the start of things because I started getting, even though I was losing weight, I still felt bad about my body, so I was covering up a lot. So, like, that's when I was just wearing, like, sweatshirts and sweatpants, like, all the time because I, like, just didn't like how I looked. So that's kind of...
Yeah.
There's, like, a multitude of things, but...
Yeah, of course.
Like, that's when I really, truly started, I think, is when I went through puberty.
Okay. So, like, when you started acting on it, that was 8th grade, you would say?
Or yeah, 8th grade, but then I kind of went away, and then I started dating my boyfriend at the time.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't have issues for a hot minute, and then it got bad again during COVID.
During COVID. Okay, yeah. I mean, how did being at home and, like, not having any interactions, and COVID was obviously, like, a pivotal point for everyone, everywhere. So how did that fuel it even harder?
Well, it's just, like, you don't, even though...
The Chloe Ting YouTube videos.
Oh, yeah, like... I still remember the music in my head.
Yeah, terrifying.
Like,
mm-hmm.
But it was weird because it's just like the one thing that fueled like my insecurity was being at school, but I wasn't at school.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was hard because then it's just like I had free access to my phone all the time.
Yeah, nothing else to do.
So I would like scroll on Pinterest and I would like, and that's when I was getting into fashion at that point. So. I just looked at it because I looked for fashion inspiration, and I realized, well, I don't really look like any of these girls, because they were, like, very, very, very skinny, and so I was like, why don't I look like that, and then I was just like, well, it did start from a healthy mindset, because I was like, okay, well, I can lose, like, 10 pounds, and I think that would just make me feel better, like, physically and mentally, so.
Well, that's how it starts for, like, a lot of people, like, almost everyone.
No, that's how it starts. Everyone, a lot of people... It's not true for everyone, but a lot of
people... Like, no one's like, okay, I'm about to go be anorexic, not eat anymore.
But, like, yeah, but some people, it's just, like, I always, like, in my head, I'd be like, okay, tomorrow I'm not going to eat, but then I never do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would just be like, okay, I'm going to eat my 3 meals and do my little workout,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be fine. And, I mean, it was fine at first, because I did lose weight, and I think it was somewhat in a healthy way, but also not. Because it's just, like, you have the thoughts, but you're, like, you're not acting on it yet, so it's just, like, I have all these thoughts that are building up, but I'm doing what I should be doing. So I'm like, I just would make excuses. I'd be like, okay, well, it's okay.
What do you mean?
Like, I'd make excuses for, because I would keep, I would, like, be like, oh, in my head, because there's always, like, for anyone who has an eating disorder, there's, like, the two sides. There's, like, the eating disorder, and then there's you. So, like,
yeah,
I would always be thinking in my head, I'd have those intrusive thoughts, and my brain would be like, no, 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 it's okay, because you're not acting on it. So mm-hmm. I'd make excuses for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if I did act on it, I'd be like, and it wasn't, like, it didn't start off like anything crazy. I'd be like, okay, I'm just not gonna have dessert tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That would be like, I'd be feeling the eating disorder thoughts, even though that's, for some people, that's not bad. Like, it's okay to skip dessert sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's just like my brain,
yeah,
took it a completely different way.
Yeah, 100%. Where they're like, obviously, eating disorders are fueled by like the media and external sources, but they're different for everybody. So what would you say your biggest triggers were when you were inactive?
Honestly, a lot of it did come from the media because I was so engrossed in, like, fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always consistently be looking at pictures. And I think it was just also, once COVID kind of, it was still there, but once it kind of deteriorated and we were back in school, but we were all wearing masks,
mm-hmm.
like, in junior year, because I did, like, I would go in some year, sometimes, and sometimes I would just do online,
mm-hmm.
but that also, like, that fueled it, too, because it was just, like, seeing other people, and some people are just naturally very thin,
mm-hmm.
so I would compare myself to them, I'm like, well, why don't I look like them? And then it was also, like, I think a part of it was I wanted to, like, impress the people around me, so I thought, oh, they'll think I'm prettier if I lose weight. So for my boyfriend, I'm like, he'll think I'm prettier if I lose weight. Or, like, my parents will love me more if I lose weight.
You thought that?
Yeah.
How about our parents?
Yeah.
Oh, gee, okay.
But a lot of it was
stupid.
Just stupid. A lot of it was just, like, the media, because it's just, like,
yeah,
it's everywhere you, like, look.
Literally everywhere, and, like,
COVID especially, it was so bad, because everyone was like, glow up, like, I want to get my glow up.
COVID glow up was such a thing, and it's just, like, even from, like, even if you weren't on social media at all during that time, we grew up, like, Disney Channel, Nickelodeon,
yeah,
all of the movies, like, they never casted, like, bigger girls to be the main role.
And if they did cast a bigger girl, it would be just to make fun of her.
It would be just to make fun of her, or it would be solely about the fact that she's a bigger girl. It wouldn't be like, oh, this is her life, like, blah, blah, blah. It would be
about
the fact
about,
that she's,
like,
bigger.
Like, if you think about Disney shows, like, I think of, like, Liv and Maddie, like, that one friend.
Mm-hmm.
She was, like, bigger, and she was, like, the stupid idiot.
Yeah.
Or, like, Harper from Wizards of Waverly Place. She wasn't even big, but people made jokes about her.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, the funny Disney
Austin
character.
Austin Alley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Austin Alley was really
100%.
Bad.
So, like, even if you weren't on social media during that time, we just grew up like that. And literally every single generation has grown up like that. So, it'll always be in the back of all girls' minds all the time.
Yeah. And it was really hard because I also just got on, like, I was obsessed with, during COVID, I was obsessed with America's Next Top Model.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really just not good for me because all of them were very, very, very thin, and, like, it talked about eating disorders, like, on the TV show, so I,
yeah,
and that's when I started to think about it. I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought about eating disorders, really,
mm-hmm.
until I started watching that show. And then it was just, like, you know, people on YouTube talking about it, their experiences, especially, you know, COVID just messed people up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%. I think a big thing, obviously, is the media, but, like external sources, like school and just, like, going out in public. So, it is kind of confusing how, like, COVID, like, no one was going out and there was no, like, social interactions, but it was, like, a, like, big point where, like, a lot of young girls started,
yeah,
like, having eating disorders. And I'm just, like, so curious on, like, I guess it was just the media because obviously no one was going outside.
Well, it's also just, like, you're stuck with your own thoughts mm-hmm. more than you ever have before. Like, it's known that, like, depression, like, a mental illness spiked during COVID because it's, like, when you're alone all the time and you're only going on your phone, you start to have, like, thoughts you wouldn't have before. Uh-huh. Or you, like, think about, like, the past and then you think about things that happened during that time that you're like, oh, you know, that upset you.
Yeah. I remember, like, because obviously you're my sister and I live with you.
Oh, really?
Shut up. Anyways, I remember, like, seeing you deal with all this stuff where they're, like, obviously eating disorders are such, like, a mental thing, and, like you said, like, they literally have their own voice, and it's not your voice anymore, and it's such, like, an evil, like, presence in your brain. So, like, would you ever, like, as Claire, think about, like, your family or your boyfriend, but then, like, the other voices would be, like, they don't matter, like, it's fine, like, would you ever, like, feel bad?
Yeah, like, definitely, I would be, like, I know I'm hurting people. Because it's not just about the eating. You change as a person. Like, I was just, like, I didn't spend time with anyone. I got in fights with, like, my family a lot more and, like, my boyfriend a lot more. And then I would always start to feel guilty. And there was just always, like, a guilt of, like, oh, I should stop. But then the other voice is, like, why? You know, and then because the whole thing is, like, for me, it was built on, like, and also impressing other people. So it was,
yeah.
Like, this will help my family love me more. This will help my boyfriend love me more. So then that eating disorder voice feels that. It's like, well, you're doing this, and your family's going to love you more. Your boyfriend will love you more. You just need to keep going. Because mm-hmm. at the end goal, everyone will be happier.
But like, there literally is no end goal. Like, the end goal is death.
No, it's, like, it's delusional because your eating disorder is, like, oh, we'll stop once we get to this certain point. But once I got to that certain point, I didn't stop.
No, literally, like, the end point is actually, like, death, so.
Yeah, because you literally cannot stop.
Yeah.
It's impossible to stop, because I was so convinced, I was like, once I get to my goal weight, mm-hmm. then I will stop. But once I got to my goal weight, I was like, okay, well, I can lose more. So, like, what's the point?
It's literally, like, addicting.
No, it's considered, like, I think one of the, like, most deadly mental illnesses.
100%.
Like, it kills more than any other illness, which is insane.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I guess we can start talking about, like, when it actually... It was bad the whole time. I'm not trying to, like, diminish anything. But,
no,
like,
no, I know what you're saying.
When you had to go to the hospital for it, so what was that journey like? Like, from beginning to end?
Beginning, so just, like, kind of basically when things really, like, started to take off?
Yeah.
Okay, so... That was COVID, so I was a sophomore in high school. That's when things really started, I think, to take off, because mm-hmm. obviously we talked about COVID. And I started just, you know, doing my workouts. I was still eating, you know, my three meals, whatever. Just I was eating what I was supposed to, and I started losing weight. And it wasn't even, like, a big deal at first, because I think I lost, like, 5 pounds, and I think, like, our mom said something. She was like, oh, you look good. Like, just make sure you're eating what you need to be eating, you know.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And for me, this is just, like, it depends on the person to person, but I got really obsessed with just working out. Mm-hmm. Because my boyfriend at the time, he was also working out, and he was losing weight. And I was like, well, he probably knows what he's doing. So I asked for his help, and he was like, here's what you can do, you know. Because I was really... bent on, like, trying to gain muscle, because that's how he worked out. So I was like, well, then I should do that.
Uh-huh.
And I had always just felt kind of weak, like, physically. So I was like, I want to be able to be strong and, you know, just improve my muscles. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just start working out more. So he would show me just some things I could do, some exercises. And I didn't really have anywhere to do that, so I would just do them in the basement, because mm-hmm. we had, like, weights down there and stuff. So I started doing stuff down there, and, like, eating-wise, I was still actually doing pretty okay. I think that's when, like, the intrusive thoughts started to get worse, and I was, like, starting to pay attention to them more, but I was also just being like, you know, don't listen to it, just keep doing what you're doing, and things will be okay.
Yeah.
And then, at first, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna work out, like, 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, is a healthy amount. And then at some point it turned into, no, I need to start working out every single day for an hour, hour and a half. So I was doing that in the basement, and then I realized, well, our neighborhood has, like, a community gym. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I can start going there. So yeah. I got, like, my card there and stuff to go in, so I started going there. And because I didn't have my license yet, I had to walk there. So it's a mile walk.
Yep.
So I do the mile walk, the hour gym, and then I would walk the mile back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I was like, oh, this is so good, because I'm getting so much, like, working out in. And this is when I really started to pay attention to what my body looked like. I had always been, like, looking at it before, but this is when I started, like, really, like, body checking, and I was like, oh my gosh, like,
mm-hmm.
there's some parts of me that, like, are really gross, and I need to fix them. So I was like, well, this is just what I need to do to be healthy. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just eat less at each meal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just cut my proportions, my portions down, and try not to eat as much, I guess. And that made things really difficult because, you know, when you're going to the gym and you're walking 2 miles a day,
mm-hmm.
that's exhausting, and your body needs fuel. So I was constantly very tired, because even though I was eating 3 meals, they were smaller meals, and they were meals that my body couldn't live off of, because
you were burning all of that, dude.
I was burning it all off. But I was like, oh, you know, this will be good. And once that started happening, I did see, like, I was losing weight faster. So I was like, well, okay, maybe I can start working out more. So I did the mile walk to the gym, I did my workout, and then I'd walk home, and then a few hours later, I would do the walk that I did with my mom, which was 3 miles.
Yeah.
So obviously that's
a fuck ton.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was like, oh, it's not that much. Like, my brain would constantly tell me, like, you're not even doing enough. So there was a certain point I got to, like, I would do something else in the day. That's when I even started cutting more severely on my meals. So instead of having, like, maybe, like, cereal for breakfast, I had an apple.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, for lunch, instead of having, you know, like, a basic lunch, so, like, a sandwich, chips, an apple, I'll have chips.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, whatever mommy would make us for dinner, I'd be like, okay, I'll just eat a really small amount. And so that worked for a while. And I was losing more weight, but I was just like, I could be better, though. I could cut even more, and I could really, I could lose weight faster, which is what I want, because at this point, I still hadn't hit my goal weight.
Mm-hmm.
I'd lost a lot of weight at this point, but I was like, well, I need to go more if I want to be able to get my weight, because at this point, I was about to hit, like, senior year.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I really want to go back and be, like, the perfect version of myself, or whatever. Or, like, I need the perfect body, so, like, everyone would be so impressed when I come back to school, and they won't even recognize me. So that's when I, like, really started cutting my food. I really got crazy, like, on the workouts. And that's when I started making my own meals. So instead of eating what mommy would make, I would have a salad. And if you remember, that's what I ate every single night.
I don't remember, but yeah.
Well, you were younger, you were in your own world, so it's yeah. not, it's okay. But, so instead of, like, I had, like, a very specific meal plan I did every single day, and it was, like, insanity. Like, I think about it sometimes, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how I did that. But, like, a normal day, what it looked like for me, I'd wake up. And, like, when you are so hungry, this is just, like, for every person with an eating disorder, you wake up, the first thing you think about is food.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. The second you wake up, you're like, what am I going to eat? So, I would wake up, and it would be, like, 7. And this is when I was, junior year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I'd eat my apple. Go do my first few classes. Then I would have, oh, my God, the Halo Tops. Halo tops had a hold on me. Mm-hmm. I had a Halo top for lunch.
It's always the Halo top.
Yeah, I had a Halo top for lunch, which is crazy. Halo top for lunch is
like,
not even lunch.
It's so stupid looking back. Like, you eat shit that you never would eat now. Like, ice cream, a whole pint of ice cream for lunch. Like, it's just, like, crazy to look back at.
No, I know. It's just, like, I was just so obsessed with, like, my calorie count.
Uh-huh.
But, I would have my Apple. Do my first few classes, then I would go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, going to the gym when all you've had is an Apple is not enjoyable. It's not mm-hmm. fun. It's exhausting. And at this point, it's, like, I wasn't even gaining muscle because of all the calories I was burning. I was burning through muscle. I was burning through fat. I was just losing everything. Uh-huh. But in my head, I'm like, no, I'm getting stronger, because I'd, like, look in the mirror and I'd be like, when I, like, flexed my muscles or whatever, I'd be like, oh, look at my muscles. But it's just
because it was just your bane.
I just lost all my fat. Just
it was
bones.
Just your bones.
Look at my muscle.
Look at my muscles, guys. So, yeah, I would have my Halo top, and at that point, I'd be literally sprinting home. I'd be like, I need my Halo top.
Mm-hmm. Because you, like, we're about to die.
I was like a skeleton.
Yeah.
And I'd get back, and I'd have my Halo top. And then, usually, I was so exhausted, I would take a really, really, really long nap. And this is how, like, my day-to-day looked. Like, this was, like, what I looked forward to.
Yeah, I remember.
So, I would take a nap. I would finish my classes, and then I would take a nap from, like, 3 to 6.
Uh-huh.
Because I was so exhausted. And I was already getting a good amount of sleep because I was so tired. Anyways, I'd wake up at 6. I'd go downstairs. I'd make my chicken and my salad.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my dinner. And if I wanted to, like, treat myself, I'd have, like, a protein shake.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that'd be my dinner. And that's what I did every single day. And once I did go back to school for senior year, because at this point, I had been going days in for junior year, but it was just, like, there was nobody there. Not everyone could see me. None of my friends were going. So, it's, like, I'm, like, excited to impress my friends because I had a falling out with my friends. So, I was, like, they're, like, going to be so, like, I was so delusional at that point. I was, like, they're going to see me and their heads are going to explode from how good I look.
Literally, yeah.
I was, like, they don't even know. So
they don't know what's coming for them.
They don't know what's coming for
like
them.
Main character moment.
Yeah, like, for real, though, I was, like, so, I was, like, oh, my gosh, like, well, because your eating disorder makes you think that everyone's watching you.
Yeah.
So, like, everyone who even makes eye contact with you, they're, like, oh, they're looking at my body. They're thinking about what my body looks like. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, I, you know.
Mm-hmm. They're looking at that specific area that no one can see but me.
Yeah, they know that my stomach isn't flat. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But anyways, I came back, and at that point, I had lost, like, because I'm like, even when I started losing weight, I was bigger, but I was not by any means, I was thin.
Yeah.
So I lost, at that point, I had lost like 40 pounds,
mm-hmm.
which is insane. That's like, oh my gosh, that was like 1/4 of my body.
Yeah.
So I came back and like everyone was shocked and I was like, oh my gosh, everyone was so shocked. Like my friend, she was like, oh my God, you look so skinny. And that was my roommate now in college, Ella. She was like, wow, you look really good though. So I was like, that kind of just fueled it because everyone was like, oh, you look so good. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, mm-hmm. how'd you do it? I wish I could be like strong like you. So that just pushed me more because it was like, oh my gosh, everyone is like proud of me and they like think I look good and everyone has never complimented me this much. So it must mean I looked way better than before. So this was all worth it in the end. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I should just keep going, because, like, if everyone is so proud of me, what if I could just get, like, to, like, model, like, I could be a model, like, I was so delusional at that point, like, brain waves were not frying, I was like,
I'm gonna be the next Heidi Klum.
I was like, oh my gosh, like, I could be a model. I was delusional, like, I was Delulu, like, I literally, I was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, exhaustion had hit its peak.
No, it's literally, like, actually, like, you dead-ass become delusional.
Yeah, you turn into a crazy person. Like,
no, and it's because your lack of nutrients. Like, you actually become, like, you actually start tweaking.
Yeah, like, I was losing my mind. Like, and, like, things got worse. Like, I was having, like, nutrition, like what you were saying, like mm-hmm. deficiencies, and my hair was falling out. And mm-hmm. that's what I was worried about, my hair. I remember when my hair started falling out, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, mm-hmm. this is what I, and it's so funny because it's just like eating disorders, they destroy your heart. Like, they destroy like so many things about your body. And I was like, oh, I'm balding. Like, that's all I cared about.
That's the
like,
only, because you only care about the cosmetic side of it.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, I'm balding. So I started like freaking out over that stuff, but then it's just like that voice is like, no, keep going, you'll be okay, like it's gonna be worth it in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though you're getting bald, even though your hair's thinning like crazy, you'll be fine. And what made things worse, because what I was just talking about, like people saying, oh, you look so good, you know, when I went to the doctor. And at that point, I hadn't hit my goal weight yet, but I was, like, really, really close.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I got weighed, and the doctor, like, did my, like, blood pressure, and it was really, really low, but, like, a lot of athletes have blood pressure that low, and
uh-huh.
I remember mommy was kind of concerned, and she was like, you know, she's gotten really thin, and they were like, no, it's okay, because her BMI is still in... The proper range. She's just, you know, she's just lost some weight, but she's healthy, which is crazy because BMI literally doesn't matter at all, because even though I had like, which is crazy,
obviously it doesn't matter, you were fucking starving yourself.
Yeah, so it's just like, even though I had like a 19 BMI, so technically considered in my weight range, it doesn't really matter, because like my body could not support what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And also 19 is just really low anyways, regardless, especially for me, who was never like that, who was never very thin like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was hitting almost underweight. But I was like, oh, well, if the doctor says I'm fine, then I shouldn't, there's no reason for me to be worried, because at this point I started to get more worried, because I was having, like, I would go to the gym, and I was having, like, heart palpitations, and I would, like, I was, you know,
mm-hmm.
losing hair, I couldn't sleep, and especially, when you're, like, starving, you lose a bunch of weight, you get a lot of, like, peach fuzz is what they call it. So
mm-hmm.
you start getting hair everywhere because your body's, like, trying to stay warm. So my body was, like, I had hair everywhere. Like, I was, like, fuzzy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my blood pressure was horrible, so I'd sit up. I literally just stand up, and I'd feel faint.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, well, you know, it's okay. It's okay, guys.
It's fine.
I'll just lose 5 more pounds and I'll stop. I swear.
Yeah.
Because, like, then when it physically started to affect me, I'm like, okay, well, after, when I get to this certain, like, if I lose 5 more pounds, I'll stop. I promise.
Mm-hmm.
But then I get, like, once I did hit my goal weight, I was like, well.
Why should I stop?
I was like, but I don't like what I look like. So I'm like, well, mm-hmm. the only way I can get to what I want to look like is if I lose more weight. So... it was just like, well, I'll keep trying, because it's just like, what's the point now?
Yeah. How did it, like, affect other aspects of your life?
Oh, it affected, like...
like, work and relationships and school.
Oh, it affected, like, everything. Like, especially, like, you know, I was talking about, like, fighting with, like, our parents.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of distance between them. I didn't really talk to either of them about anything anymore. Because I was just like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
And they'll see that I'm really, truly sick, and I don't want anyone to see how bad I'm doing, because I want to keep this, like, appearance that, no, I'm doing great, and, like, I've been doing amazing things for my body, and that this is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, because I was so sick, I think a lot of people, they also experience depression, and their anxiety gets worse. So that's what happened with me. So I became very depressed.
Yeah.
And all I did was, like, lay in my room all day. I could barely... going to school was so hard. And at this point, senior year, I only had to go in for, like, 3 hours. But it was so hard. I couldn't pay attention. I could barely get my work done. I did get my work done somehow. But it was incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Me and my boyfriend, we fought a lot more because... I was just hiding all those emotions on the inside, and I was, because I wanted to keep this, I needed to keep this, mask of who I am, so I need to be happy, I'm, you know, everything's going the way I want it to in my life, so I would bottle everything up, so when I was angry or sad about anything, it would build up and build up, because at this point, I didn't really talk to our parents. I only had, like, one friend. But I didn't tell her about that stuff because she also had experienced issues in the past. So it was like, I don't want to make things hard. So, like, my boyfriend was the only person I was talking to. But the thing is, I wasn't talking to him about my issues.
Yeah.
So, if I was having issues with my parents or my friend, those would, things would build up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would take them out on someone else. So, I would take them out on him. And I would get really upset at him. And I would cry. And be like, well, why are you so upset? And I would just be like, you don't understand, like, you don't know what's going on, like, and he would just be confused.
Yeah.
And I would just be, and what made it even more confusing, I would blow out, you know, and then we would, like, fix the argument, fix it, like, we would talk it out, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And those things would just build up again. And, but, like, he didn't understand, he didn't know what I was going through, because I couldn't, I didn't want him to know.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, it's embarrassing. At some point, because it's like I can't control myself, and it's just an embarrassment. But yeah, it affected like everything. It affected everything in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like your life is not the same.
Yeah. So when did it get to the point where you had to go to the hospital?
So that's when I started. I got a job at Home Goods.
Yep.
And
I remember
like. When a lot of people are, like, really depressed, you just want to, like, distract yourself. Because all I'd been doing is, like, sitting at home, sleeping, which just made me even more depressed. So I was like, okay, well, I'll get a job because then I can work. And I'll have something to distract me. I'll make money.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, a part of it was like, okay, well, then I can go even longer without eating. So I can, like, do 8-hour shifts and, like, not eat lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I would, what my schedule was, it was right... It'd be, like, 2 to, like, closing.
Dang, that's a long shift. I don't work that long.
Yeah, I was doing crazy shifts. So I was like, okay, well...
Was this senior year?
Yeah.
Dang, I work 4-hour shifts. And I think they're so long.
Yeah, I know. They were the worst shifts in my life. And it was... At this point, I lost so, so much weight. So I was like... You would just look at me and be like, oh. And you'd be like, oh, she's not looking good.
Yeah.
So I got the job... And my schedule, I would literally just come home from school, I'd do my little workout, and then I would go to work. So, and I was working a lot. Like, I didn't work there for that long, but the time I was working a lot. Long, long shifts, 8-hour shifts every day.
Mm-hmm.
While I was working, like, I think it was, like, 4 to 5 days a week. So I'd go, and I was, like... At this point, I was completely cutting out lunch, so I wasn't so hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked at the cashier, which the cashiers don't get to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to stand the whole time. And I would be so exhausted. And this is when people, like, started asking me, like, are you okay? Like, I'd have a random, like, one of my random coworkers, she'd be like, I remember once... I was just working, and, like, I was supposed to get my break anyways, but she was like, do you need a break? You look like you're dead.
Wow, really?
Yeah, she was like, you look sick. I was like, no, I'm okay. And it was really
funny.
Holy
crap.
Like, no, there was, like, random people, like, my random coworkers who I never talked to, like, I remember I'd sit in the break room, and they, like, one time, some old lady brought cake, and she was like, do you want some cake? You look like you need it. I was like, oh.
What?
But then, wow. Like, the eating disorder is so delusional at that point. It's like, oh, no, you're doing a good job.
No, yeah.
Because you're like, oh, now I'm super skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
This is just how I am. And my body is just
I was born this way.
My body is just so thin. I don't need cake. Like, I don't even crave cake.
Right.
But, so, yeah, coworkers, they were like, are you, like, a lot of them, like, would just ask, are you okay? I'd be like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, guys, I'm fine. I'm fine.
And I remember one thing that was, like, pivotal was, I was at school, just, like, a day before, like, a shift.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend, who I was not friends with anymore, like, this was the person I had the falling out with.
Who was it? Oh, wait.
Yeah, we can't name
her.
But,
okay.
No.
Oh, okay, whatever.
The other one.
Whatever.
Time. Yeah, let's just keep going. But anyways, she came up to me, she's like, can I give you a hug? And I was like, yeah. And so she just hugged me in the hallway, and she was like, are you okay? Like, I really hope you're okay. She was like, you just look really thin. And I was like, no, I'm okay, you know, I'm just losing weight, being healthy, you know, being healthy with my apples.
Doing yoga.
Eating my apples and my salad.
Dang.
So yeah, that's when it like fed into like, oh, like everyone's noticing it now. Like,
yeah, and it's different when it's a teenage girl who doesn't like you is coming up to you and like worried about you. Like,
yeah, they don't do that. I was in shock. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, okay. And then like our parents started getting really worried about me, and that's when like my mom pulled me aside. She's like, you're looking really thin. I'm really worried. And then like I remember this is when like they went to therapy for some reason. Like both of them had gone to therapy a few times together.
Mm-hmm.
And like she told me that like my dad was like had been crying. Like our dad had been crying because he was so worried about me.
Aw, yeah.
And it was like I also
that's like when you know.
That's when you know it's like, oh, things are getting bad.
Yeah.
It's like but I would hear all that and I'd be like, oh, well, I need to keep going because it's just like I have no choice now.
Yeah.
And that's, and then, like, that winter, you know, that before, I went to, I'm not going to say the name of the hospital, but I went to that hospital.
Like, eating disorders like, centered.
Like, February, I think, or something. Facility. February, March. But that's, that winter before, that winter was really hard.
That winter was horrible. I remember that, yeah.
I was, like, not eating at all, and, you know, it's just, like, especially during, like, Christmas time and stuff, there's, like, lots of food, and
Thanksgiving.
And
yeah.
I was, like, so, like, controlled about everything. So I would have my one little... I remember Thanksgiving, I had, like, the smallest portions. I was like, oh, this was such a good day. I was like, oh, I got to eat so much. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was barely eating anything at that point. But, yeah.
How long was your stay at the hospital?
8 weeks.
8 weeks, so that's...
So, like, 2 months, basically. Almost 2 months, yeah.
Wow. It felt so much longer in my head.
It felt long for me, too, girl. I felt like I was there forever. It was prison.
What was your time like there?
I remember getting there and I was like, whoa. Because, like, a part of me was, like, proud of myself.
For getting to that point.
Yeah, because I was like, wow, they really think I'm that skinny. Like, I guess I get to go to the hospital and I get to show off my body to other sick people. And I got there and I was like, oh, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I was like, this was fun for just like a little field trip, but now I want to go home.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone else there is so insanely sick. And it makes you realize, you're like, oh, I didn't realize how bad this was.
Mm-hmm.
And what's even crazier, when I got there were people so much worse than I was.
Mm-hmm.
So a part of me was like, I don't even belong here. But I mean, of course I did, but, like, people were crazy. It was an insane time. I made a lot of good friends. I mean,
as many friends. Best friends now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As many friends as you can make. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it was rough. It was a rough time. There was people crying, people screaming, throwing things.
Literally in the loony bin.
Girl, yeah, it was the loony bin. Basically, like, I like how I always talk
about
it.
That's probably not okay to say, I'm sorry, but...
Well, girl, I was a part of it, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I literally was like, oh, so girl interrupted. Like,
oh my gosh.
I was like, hospital time. And I remember every time I still bring it up, our mom was like, no, it wasn't a psych ward. I'm like, it basically was.
It basically was,
there was a white room. It was a psych ward.
There was a white room?
Yeah, with padding.
No way, were you ever in it?
No! Once I got there, I remember just thinking, I need to get out of here. That was my first thought. So I was like, I'm gonna do whatever they say. I'm not gonna break the rules because I need to get out of here as soon as possible. Because I got there and some people had been there. So the longest person who had been there was 9 months.
Wow.
Like, I was like, I can't be here for that long.
Yeah, no.
Because if you fight it, because you can try to be like, well, I'm not going to eat. You know, they're making you eat, obviously.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you get, like, the feeding tube, and that just extends your stay longer. And, you know, some people wanted to stay there a long time because it's like, oh, this is how I'm proving to you how sick I am. But at a certain point, I was like, this isn't worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, a part of me was really scared because I knew I was going to have to gain the weight back, and I really, 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 really didn't want to. And I think, I still miss that old body, but I know something I just can't have.
Yeah.
Like, physically, I just don't want
it.
And
I think you look better now.
Yeah, no, I, like, that, the way I was...
Was not good.
Was not good, and I think there's always those intrusive thoughts, like, now that I still get, I'm like, you would be happy if you looked like that, but it's just about...
Yeah, the thoughts never really go away.
No, they never go away. But it's just acting on them, because mine are still very severe. Like, I'm getting them right now. Like, talking about it. Like, that's how crazy it is.
Shut up.
Yeah! Ooh. So, mysterious. But yeah. It was bad. And there's, like, a lot of things I could go into detail about, like, all the hospital stories, but we'd be here forever. So,
oh, yeah, this is already becoming a long episode, but I like it. I like it.
Oh, so. Really? This is a long episode?
Yeah,
I'm yapping.
No, I love it. That's how it's supposed to be. The one with Martha was 45 minutes.
Oh, okay.
The ones with Caroline and Michaela were, like, 25.
Well, that makes sense, because they're younger.
Yeah, so...
It's harder, like, I'm trying to come up with things to say.
Yeah, let's go into the recovery process, and then self-reflection, and then advice, okay?
Okay.
All right, so, what did the early stages of recovery look like for you?
So, the hospital I went to, everything was focused on, you need to gain the weight back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first, and a lot of people don't agree with that. I think it is it's a particular method to go about curing an eating disorder, I would say.
No, yeah, for sure.
So, because it's a very short stay, like, at least for me it was a short stay, it was like 8 weeks, so I kind of just spent that whole time gaining weight, and then I had to do PHP, and that's where, like, the thoughts really started to come back.
What's PHP?
So PHP is basically, you go in, like, a school day, so you'll have breakfast and lunch there, and then, like, you'll have dinner at home.
Right.
But I was still doing, like, all, like, we had little meetings, and we talked about, like, you know, our feelings and our thoughts, and, like, just, like, mental health classes to help you, you know, recover with your weight gain, which, not to say, not everyone who goes there needs to even gain weight. Sometimes they don't, mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not about that, so, like, just because, especially for anyone out there who has an eating disorder, it's not always about gaining weight. Because a lot of people there, they weren't required to gain weight. They were just having really bad, you know, behaviors and, like, intrusive thoughts. So that's what they helped work through them with. But for me personally, I had to gain weight. Because it was just, where I was not healthy physically. And, like, my body was, like, shutting down. So they had me gain, I think, like, 25 pounds or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really, really hard for me. And I was very full all the time because there's, like, this thing that happens for people with eating disorders who have, like, starved themselves. So, like, anorexia specifically, once you start eating again, your body can, like, go into overdrive and you start burning calories super, super fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I was put on, like, really, really big meals. So I was on, like, a 4,000 calorie diet.
Dang.
Yeah, like, girl, I was eating so much every day. And, like, that puts, like, not just, like, physically, but obviously mentally, like,
mm-hmm.
mentally, I was like, oh, I feel so big now, but, like, physically, you know, I was, like, super bloated all the time,
mm-hmm.
because that's also what happens when you gain weight, it goes all into your stomach.
Yeah.
And then it kind of...
Disperses.
It'll disperse itself. Out.
Yeah.
But at first, it was just my stomach, and I was feeling super, super insecure, and I could tell that I was gaining weight,
mm-hmm.
and it was going, like, it was just, I remember it, like, went to my face, because what happened, I literally looked like a bobblehead. If you remember, like, I lost a lot of weight on my face and, like, fat, so that's kind of where it went first, and I was really upset about that, and then I was, like, really upset about the bloating, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's how, for me, that's how it personally went about, so I had to get put on a big diet so I could gain that weight back, and once I hit, like, my targeted weight,
mm-hmm.
I remember they wanted me to gain more, but, like, our mom and dad, like, said no.
Really? Why did they say no?
Because it was, like, it wasn't weight I needed to gain.
Mm.
Like, they wanted me to, they would, what happens in that certain place a lot, they made people gain a lot of weight.
Mm.
Like, more than they were. And I was just like, I don't want to do that. And also, it was just, like, at that point, it was like, what's the point? Because it's like, why gain that weight if I don't even... I just wanted to get back to a healthy spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, there was part of me that didn't, but, yeah, they wanted me to...
I feel like if you, if, like, I feel like that's sort of unhealthy if they want you to gain so much weight that could lead them to, like, a worse mindset.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people who went there with me also thought that, and it's good that, like, our parents thought that, because it was just, like, she's already having a hard time gaining weight, why does she need to gain more weight?
Yeah.
Which I understand why they kind of did it at the same time, like, the hospital, because once I did get to go to PHP, I started losing weight again.
Yeah.
Because it kind of just was dispersing out, and my metabolism was kind of reaching its, like, proper state.
Yeah, that same point.
Like, that it needed to be in. So I did start losing weight again, but that wasn't because I was, like, starving myself or anything. it was just because I was finally leveling out my food intake.
So, obviously, you had your friends at the hospital, but what did your support system look like during this time, and how did they support you, and how did you feel about their involvement in,
like, PHP wise or
just in general, your support systems?
It was everyone was really supportive. I just don't really remember.
It was just all a blur to me.
Well, you didn't really, like, reach out and text me, but I didn't really...
Did you have your phone?
No, but you could, like, we had access to the computer, so I was texting on Skype with people. But I wasn't, like, hurt by you not texting me. Because, like, you were just, like, a kid. And I was like, she doesn't need to text me right now, and I know it's hard for her, so. But I had, my boyfriend was texting me, and our parents were, obviously, and even Chris was, which is funny, and Ella. So that was all, they always... Especially when I was, like, actually just inpatient, they were all supporting me the best I could. Once I got out of PHP, that's when, once you get out of PHP, your parents are starting to have to make meals, which it was very supportive, and I was really happy about. And then, I think my biggest...
I was so excited because we were getting super delicious dinners every night.
Yeah, I know, we got to make, like, crazy food. And I think the biggest person who really did help me was my boyfriend, because...
That's just, like, the closest person in your life, and it's, like, the same age group.
And it's hard, because, like, we had already, like, you know, like, we had done things, so, like, he has seen my body, like, completely, like, without anything, and I was really scared to go see him again, because I was, like, well, obviously, we're gonna have sex, and I'm gonna look different. So I was really worried about that, and also, because it was just, like, you know, I was bloated still.
Yeah.
But he was, like, you know, like, no, you look beautiful, and that made me feel... really good. And he was like, he really wanted to make sure that he felt a lot of, I think, guilt. A part of him was like, I'm the reason you're here, because he gave me all that about, like, you know, like, losing
the
weight
workouts.
He, like, I remember he cried, he was like, it's my fault.
Oh, poor guy. No,
I'm like, no, dude, it's not your fault at all. But yeah, he came to visit, and he made my meals every single day.
Aww.
And he, like, made my shakes and everything.
Yeah.
And I found, this is so cute, I found one of the books that he had with all the recipes in them, and I needed to meet certain parameters for each meal, and he had them written all out to make sure I had them all.
Aw, he's so cute for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
What a good boy.
He was really supportive, and I remember... I came back and he had bought a bunch of new clothes for me in my new size.
Stop.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
So it was really sweet, and he got me a bunch of stuffed animals, and he was, like, making me food and everything. And I remember I felt so awkward because I had to go to prom. We were going to prom. And it was, like, 2 days out of the hospital, and we went dress shopping. I, like, hated how I looked, but he, like, you know, he was like, no, you look amazing, you know, which was really sweet. And that summer after the hospital, he helped me a lot because we were able to see each other a lot.
Yeah.
And he was just really supportive. And he was like, you know, you were always beautiful, you know? So that was helpful. And then obviously our parents, which of course they're our parents. So they're kind of like, and I would be like, oh, you're annoying. Because they're overbearing, like, are you okay? You know, we gotta make sure you're doing good. But they were really supportive. They wanted what's best for me. They were making sure, you know, was having intrusive thoughts and making sure I was going to therapy, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So looking back at that time, like obviously, like you said, in the thoughts, they don't go away. They just start to like kind of.
They're at the back of your mind.
Back of your mind start happening less frequently, mm-hmm. I would say. But what has your journey taught you about yourself and the strength that it has given you and all of that gloriness?
I think, like, yeah, I realized, like, now looking back, like, that was the hardest thing I've ever done. Going to the hospital, that was, like, one of the hardest things I've ever done, which I know it's not that crazy, and I know people have experienced worse, but for me, that was, like...
Well, yeah, of course.
I remember thinking... Before I went, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get better. I'm going to be stuck like this forever. And I realized that, like, you are so much stronger. Like, I know this sounds, like, so cringy, but you're actually, like, mentally and physically, you're so much stronger than you actually know that you are. And that there are things you can do that you think you never could.
Yeah.
Like, especially, that was specifically for me mentally. I thought, like, I was never going to escape it.
Mm-hmm.
Once I was in the hospital, I'm like, this will be never ending, but you can do it. You just have to push past, like, every bad thought that you have. You just have to be like, no, I need to keep going because this will be good.
Yeah.
In the end, this is what I want. This is what I need. It's, yeah, it's not about, because I remember, like, this is not what I want, but it's what I need, basically.
And it's so good to have that mindset when you're doing tough things, not even just this, but, like,
yeah.
Now that you've gone through this and you lived... with that mindset during such a hard time, you're so much stronger. And, you know, like, if you do go through something like that again, like, you can channel that same mindset in a way.
Yeah, no, it made me realize that I can handle a lot more than I think I can.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think are some, like, common misconceptions
yeah.
about eating disorders that you want to, like, clear up?
That they often affect teenage girls. That's a big one. I mean, I understand that it does affect a lot of teenage girls, but that's not always the case for everyone. I mean, look at our mom. Like, she had issues way later on in life.
Yeah.
You know, men can experience it no matter the 100%. Age. So, to all the men listening.
We love you.
And
kings.
If you have... kings. If you have eating problems, that is just as you are... worthy
you are
of
just
treatment.
As valid.
You are just as valid.
Yep.
I think, what is another big misconception? Oh, a big one. Big, big one. Like, covering my feet. is that anorexia is, like, the biggest one.
Yeah.
Not the biggest
like
one,
the
but
most,
it's the
like,
only one.
Stigmatized and, like, most important and, like,
yeah.
glamour.
So rise. It's just, like, anyone of any shape can have an eating disorder.
Yeah.
You don't need to be exceptionally thin, like, bones, like,
yeah.
Eugenia Cooney to have
yeah.
an eating disorder. Like, it's just all about, like, you are still valid, even if, you know, it's just thoughts. And
mm-hmm.
and it's just actions, and it doesn't always have to do with what your weight is at
yeah.
all. Because 100%. It's a mental illness, not a physical illness.
Yeah.
Like, it affects you mentally. So if you have, like, you know, a binge eating disorder, like bulimia, ARFID, those are just as valid as anorexia. They deserve treatment just as much as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just as bad for your health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I know ARFID's a little bit different, but, you
it
know.
It still sucks, yeah.
It's still an eating disorder in some aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you are worthy of treatment no matter what.
Mm-hmm. 100%. What are some things that have helped you find peace and balance in your life after recovery?
I think one thing I learned...
Fashion, my boyfriend, music.
Well, one thing I learned is just also, like, intuitive eating.
Yeah.
Which has really saved me. Because that's... When you're a child, that's how you eat, is usually intuitive eating. You eat...
You when cry you're... when you're hungry. And
you yeah, it's you not. Listen to your instincts. So, for me, if I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. And when I finally learned when I'm not hungry, I can stop eating.
Yeah.
Like, I
and
know.
And that seems so, like, obvious and common sense.
But
like,
it's, most people can't.
Yeah, when you're, even if you don't have an eating disorder, like, everyone's heard, like, the saying, like, oh, you're just bored, you're not hungry. Like, it's just, like, intuitive eating is, like, an actual, like, it's hard to, like, kind of, like, learn how to do. So, yeah.
No, it's, it, like, it took me, it's still it's still an issue for me.
Because sometimes those chips taste so good, you have to finish the whole bag.
Sometimes they just taste too good. But that's okay, though. Sometimes it's okay to eat too much.
Yeah.
But it's always just about don't go too far every single time.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, and some days, you're not going to eat as much. One day you could eat not that much, and then the next day you're gobbling.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. That's just what intuitive eating is. You don't need to be on a schedule. I mean,
what else?
What was the question again? Just
helped you find peace.
What helped me find peace?
After recovery.
I think music, obviously, mm-hmm. which you just made fun of me for. But yeah, like, I found my love for music again, because mm-hmm. I kind of lost it, because I've loved music for a long time, and I started really loving it, I think, like, 8th grade. And then I kind of fell out of love with it during, like, my eating disorder, because I just found I couldn't find enjoyment in anything, and then I kind of rekindled it, and
mm-hmm.
I started playing guitar again, and I formed a band. Well, not me, but me and my friend, we formed a band.
And Gresham, go check him out.
Gresham on Instagram, guys. I'm the redhead. if you want to know. But yeah, and also going to college really helped me a lot, which...
New slate, new people, new everything.
And I remember being so scared at first, but it really helped me find myself as a person.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're thriving off of it, because I was worried about you and, like...
Yeah,
you
no,
haven't
it's,
always, you're definitely more of an introvert kind of person.
Oh, girl, definitely, definitely.
Well, I'm trying to put it in, like, a nice way possible. Like, you're a freaking loser.
Freaking loner.
Well, like, so I was so worried, like, you weren't gonna thrive, but you so have, and it's just been so amazing
yeah.
to, like, see from a different point of view.
And I found, like, theater, which,
yeah.
theater kid,
but, I found theater, which is, like, taught, like, it's really shown me, oh, there's other things that I'm finding out that I really like in my life
mm-hmm.
that I want to explore, and I've just met new friends, and I feel, like, more of an adult, which is really, it's really nice.
Yeah. So, looking ahead, how do you envision your relationship with food and body image in the future?
Well, I'm always hoping for the best, of
uh-huh.
course.
100%.
It's just accepting that your body changes, I think, is one thing, especially, like, during the holidays. Like, I'm used to getting that, like, I'm used to, I'm going to gain some weight, and that's okay. And
yep, I'm ready for that big booty.
I'm ready for that big booty. And I'm ready that, you know, your body doesn't always stay the same.
Yep.
That's okay. And just trying to, I think, just do what I've been doing, which is intuitive eating. And just
trucking along, yeah.
And just eating what I want. When I want to.
Yep.
And, you know, doing my exercise, which I try to do as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But not go overboard, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Amazing. I love it. Lastly, what advice would you give to someone who may be struggling right now with an eating disorder?
Mm-hmm. I know, because I remember I would hear stuff like this from other people. I'm like, you don't get it. Like...
Mm-hmm.
But when you're, I understand when you're, like, so deep into it, it feels like there's truly, like, there's no escape. Like, I know.
Yeah.
Especially with people listening, you're like, I know, like, it's so hard. I'm never going to escape. You don't understand.
You don't know what you're saying, stupid.
But, like, truly I do. And I know you're just shaking your head right now. You're like, no. Like, you don't get it. Like, you don't know. But I'm like, trust me, I do. That you deserve recovery.
And you deserve to be better.
In treatment, and you deserve the best out of life. And just know your eating disorder is not giving you the best out of life.
Yeah,
even though I don't try to tell you that.
You have one life here, so.
And even, I know it's so hard, but even accepting that your body is your body, but the body you have right now is not sustainable, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Or what you're doing is not sustainable to your body. And I know deep down, we all know that, but we want to keep going. But
mm-hmm.
remembering that your body loves you, and it wants to be treated.
With love.
Yeah, and that
mm-hmm.
no one, like, this is a sad truth, but no one's body is perfect.
Right.
And trying to live up to that and trying to chase after that in the long run will not make you happy. And just trying to find treatment. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to do something crazy today. You don't have to be like, okay, I need to see a therapist or I need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
It starts with small things. And finding ways that in your life that can make you happier, and finding things through your friends and your family.
Yeah, the support systems that you have.
Yeah.
And even if you don't, as always, every episode there will be resources in the caption of this episode to help out.
And you can take this, and you can always, it's always just about taking the first step.
Always.
Truly. Even if it's the smallest little thing, and you think, oh, this won't help me in the long run, it will.
It will.
Because recovery is not linear, as they say.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Claire, for sharing your story. I really enjoyed it, and I hope that it can be an outlet for someone who might be struggling.
Yeah. I hope
you
so
did
too.
So good, little Pookie Bear.
Oh, thank you!
All right, remember, your body is just a vessel for your soul. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.